Oslo, the capital of Norway, is regularly ranked as one of the most sustainable cities in the world, with a leading position especially in renewable energy, green spaces and air pollution. In the centre of the city, very few new buildings are being constructed. Instead, existing buildings are being renovated and brought up to modern energy and accessibility standards. In this episode, we take a look at how this renovation revolution is reshaping the Norwegian capital and examine what other cities can learn from Oslo's progress on renovating instead of demolishing. And with that, I'm happy to welcome Heidi Sørensen, Director of Oslo City's Climate Agency. Heidi, welcome to Shaping Sustainable Places.
Thank you.
Many other cities are trying to reach ambitious climate targets. Why is Oslo being so successful at this when others are lagging behind? What's your secret?
The secret is that we are building a better city for all. Climate change is not about sacrifice. Climate change is about finding solutions, building cities that are actually better for all of us.
Now, Oslo has one of the most ambitious climate targets in the world. Can you tell me about your aims and how you're working to achieve them?
Yes, we have really ambitious targets. We are set to reduce the climate emission by 95% by 2030. And that's less than 5 years until we have to reach that. So it's really ambitious. So far, the climate budget analysis tells us that we are on a track to reach 70% reduction. But we have identified emissions that will take us to 80, and we still have a 15% to go. But I think, yes, it's a bold goal, but it is achievable with the right mix of action, collaboration and innovation.
Sorry, that is an incredibly ambitious target, and also not having everything set out. I mean, that means you're doing really well, but you've got work to do.
Of course. I don't think at any point of setting targets you know you're going to reach. We have a target that we have to work really hard to reach. And I think the good thing about it is that we have to get everybody in the municipality on board. Every emission has to be looked at. So there are no excuse for inaction here. And of course, when it's come to direct emissions, we have three main key areas. We have the mobility, the transportation, where we are rapidly phasing out fossil fuels both in public and in private transportation, but also reducing the total amount of traffic. And then in the waste management, which is the second biggest emission source, we are now investing in a carbon capture and storage facility in the waste incineration plant. That has been so far successfully demonstrated in a pilot project, and it's set to start in the end of 2029. So that is a very exciting thing. And the third thing is the emission from construction. And they account for approximately 14% of the city's direct emissions. So cutting them as well, cutting fossil fuels from this sector is also our priority.
Three very, very clear areas. Obviously, we're on a construction podcast, so we want to concentrate on the construction side of things.
Yeah.
And one aspect is that emission-free construction sites. Why are these so important, and how are you working to promote that concept?
They are important to us because they have a big chunk of the emissions. 14% of the direct emissions is a lot. And if we are going to reach our targets, this is definitely emissions we have to attack. But we have done so quite successfully. From 2019, we have had tender criterias, making businesses compete for being the best on low and zero emission machineries. And we have done this in a very good dialogue and collaboration with the industry. Will this work or not? When we set the tender criteria in 2019, I think there were three electric excavators in Oslo, and we said that by 2025, everyone should be electric. And we were discussing, is this possible or not? And we decided to try, and yes, it turned out to be possible. So now it is a minimum criteria. You have to use zero emission machineries on all of the municipalities' construction sites.
That's an amazing achievement. A lot of cities around the world are moving towards zero-emission construction equipment, but I think you're the first ones to make it mandatory on every project, which is amazing.
Yes, I think we are. But I think it's also worth mentioning that to cooperate with other cities to create the market for the construction machineries with zero emission technology has been very important, because Oslo is not that big a city. So the more cities that ask for the same thing through their procurement policies, the easier it is to build the market for a clean technology.
Mm. And creating that market is so important. Our focus for today, we'd really like to look at renovations. One of the ways that you're reducing the emissions in the construction industry is by encouraging the renovation of existing buildings rather than the construction of new ones, particularly in the city centre. Why are you taking that approach?
Great question. We do that, of course, because we truly want to be a leader in climate action. And in 5 years, there are no direct emission left. So, of course, we need to go further to look upon the indirect emission that is embodied in, for instance, materials like concrete and steel. And then renovation is key. And material use in municipal construction accounts for a lot of our indirect emissions. And I think it makes it the single largest source of emission that often goes unnoticed. So renovation is one of the, is effective, especially when we have older building, even if they are not well insulated as the brand new one, reusing its structure significantly reduces need for new materials, and that makes a massive difference. So by prioritizing renovation, we can achieve three, I think, major benefits. We are reducing emission, which of course, reducing global emission, which of course is important. And but we're also then preserving Oslo's character. Many historic buildings define the city's identity. And I think we can achieve economic efficiency. Renovation can be more cost-effective in both construction and operation.
Hmm. It's a triple win. You're reducing your emission targets, you're improving the efficiency, and you're retaining the heritage benefits. I understand that also with renovating and upgrading some of these old buildings, you can also improve public access so that more people have access to the buildings as well.
Yes, because they were built before there were any standards that says that all people should be able to enter those buildings. So that is also a part of the renovation. And some buildings are also renovated because we wanted to create access to the buildings.
Now, of course, it sounds great, and we'd like to see more of it, but it's not just easy. What are some of the challenges facing both Oslo City and the companies that are doing this?
I think we are facing the same challenges as you see many places. And I don't think we are the only city doing this, but I think many cities as Oslo face regulations and standards issues. We, of course, want to reduce climate goals, but we also want to protect heritage buildings, and we have to upgrading all buildings to modern standard without losing their character. It requires precision and innovation. So it's not always easy. The demand for sustainable materials like low-carbon concrete and recycled insulation and bio-based alternatives is growing. But the supply chains aren't always keeping up. Contractors and suppliers must adapt quickly, and I think that is a challenge in Oslo as it is in many places. And we have the scaling up and speeding up challenges. Renovation is often the best choice, but it needs to happen faster. So we need to raise more awareness about how sustainable renovation is, and we have to ensure that we have enough skilled workers in green construction. I think that is a key question. Are we able to have enough skilled workers? And we have to align incentives so building owners and contractors invest in future-proof solutions. And I think there are often a lot of talk on how we are going to make the economy circular. To me, construction is the core of that. This is where the big material circles have to be sustainable. If we can make construction business circle, I think that will be the most important thing and the most important step towards a more circular society.
Mm, absolutely. The renovation of existing buildings is reshaping the Norwegian capital. Do you have any favourites?
I can tell you about a few.
Yes, please do.
One of my favorite sophies, Mindaugas, a building that formerly served as a hospital, but has recent years been used as a kindergarten center, but only a part of the building was used. Now it's being totally renovated. It's of course done with a zero emission construction site, without any fossil fuel, but they also are trying to do everything as circular as possible. Steel beams were carefully dismantled and reused. Bricks are repurposed, and exciting existing materials like doors and playground equipment were given a second life. So I think this is a project that really tries to do everything at once. So we follow this one very closely. So far, it's been very interesting. The second one is actually a sports and community hall called Løren. This innovative project used upcycled steel from an old shipwreck that was as the load-bearing structure for a pergola in the roof of the building, demonstrating a new way to incorporate circular economy principles. And the third one is the Oslo's new emergency medical center. This is actually done, it's working now. The project reused hollow core concrete slabs from the old government quarter, setting a new Norwegian standard for reusing these materials in future projects. Reused hollow core slabs have approximately 90% lower carbon greenhouse gas emission compared to producing new hollow core slabs for this project. I think these projects aren't just about cutting emission, they're also shaping a new industry standards for sustainable construction. And that, I think, is one of the exciting things about this renovation project. We are actually shaping industry as we work.
Mm. But those shifts in reusing steel, but particularly with the hollow core slabs, we're seeing more and more companies, including Skanska, working with that because there are such enormous wins from reusing them. So fantastic to hear. When you're thinking about your climate targets, you've got a 2030 deadline. What's Oslo going to be like 10 years from now?
Oslo, 10 years from now, will not only be zero emission city. That will be by 2030. In 2035, I think we have reached big targets when it's come to being a circular city as well. And I've done a lot of renovation to prove it.
Heidi, thank you so much for your time today, and a real joy to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
One of the main challenges in renovating and restoring buildings is the need for technical and managerial expertise. Many experts say that renovation can be even more difficult than building something new. That's why Skanska has a skilled team that is specialised in renovation in Oslo. What do they know that others don't? Sara Zahl is a district manager in Oslo and a Skanska expert on renovation. Sara, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And Skanska Norway, you have a specialist renovations team. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, Skanska Norway has been doing renovations for many years. And I think it was when I started, it was in 2020. All the employees with experience from renovations were gathered into one apartment. And, you know, their renovation projects, they have a very different risk profile during the construction phase, the new builds. So this was a team with a know-how, and the team, they had the ability to foresee most of the risks and allow us to handle the risks through mitigations. So in 2020, we had the know-how with two teams, you know, ready to meet the demands in the market. And now we have four teams. So it has been, that says something about the, you know, the possibilities out there. There's a huge interest. There's an increasing demand.
Sounds great. But there have to be challenges here in this process as well. It can't all just be simple.
Oh, yes, there are. There are, but that's what makes it fun. The main challenge is planning for the unforeseen. So we spend a great deal of time scanning and mapping the condition of the main structures. Like, we seldom see standard solutions for how to construct stuff. And that's where the know-how is important, and the close dialogue between the production team and the design team. We have a great sharing culture in Skanska. Everyone's happy to share a previous experience.
When we were talking before, you mentioned about the energy savings, the advantages for reductions in carbon emissions and accessibility and so on. Can we talk a little bit more about what renovations bring to the customer in terms of value to them?
In our experience, is that most of our customers have high environmental goals, which, you know, embody refurbishing a great deal of their portfolio. So, whilst, you know, as we talked about, minimizing the carbon emissions, you get attractive, up-to-date and fully utilized properties, which again meet the tenant's needs with their environmental goals on their side. You know, the city gets to keep its history in, you know, in the spaces and the surrounding. And I think that there's a great awareness in today's society with regards to reducing waste and circularity, and that people really embrace not demolishing something that's perfectly transferable. So, you know, people are really embracing this. That's what our experience is.
What if we talk about the business case for Skanska? I mean, Skanska is traditionally a developer and a constructor of new buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So how does this work in with Skanska from a business perspective?
Well, what's in it for Skanska? Well, from a business perspective, there is a huge market there for us. And it's also a way for Skanska as a company to reach our climate goals. We've set quite high goals here in Norway to be, you know, net zero in our carbon emissions by 2030. So this is a huge, this is a big step towards that. And we can see that, you know, like it's not only the big complex projects. You have the easier refurbishments as well, but still they make quite a bit of an impact when it comes to energy saving. And this is where you can see that the client needs our advice when it comes to what's the return on the investment for this or that alternative.
Could I ask you, if you had to describe why you are so enthusiastic about working with renovations in this way, what would you say there?
It gives me so much joy kind of seeing what, you know, the old and worn, you know, buildings that have been forgotten or even like looked down on. Like, it doesn't take that much to bring them back to life and create like the most beautiful spaces where you, you know, you have the old craftsmanship meeting the new way of doing stuff. And that's what inspires me the most. Of course, sustainability is in my heart, but this really gives me like proper joy.
Oh, that's great. A top way to end this conversation. Sara Zahl, District Manager and Renovation Expert from Skanska Norway, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you.
We've heard today from Heidi Sørensen about how renovating, whenever possible, is helping Oslo minimise its carbon emissions. Renovations and restorations allow the city to retain its impressive heritage buildings while improving their energy efficiency and making them more accessible for everyone. And Skanska's Sara Zahl told us how lessons learned from previous renovation projects are making the process more efficient. Skanska Norway specialist teams are able to scale up innovations and share them across the company's multinational organisation. It's good to be back. We've got more conversations coming up over the weeks and months ahead, where experts from the construction and development industry, design, civil society and more share their insights into how we can shape a more sustainable future. I'm John Ambrose, and thanks for listening to Shaping Sustainable Places.